Welcome to ITB's Travel Hero podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamp Davies, with management consultancy A Bright Approach. In this podcast, we will be finding out how best to engage with the LGBTQ plus communities, and specifically how the hospitality sector is focused on addressing the needs of this group of wonderful travelers. With me today, I have Philip Ibrahim, who's general manager of the Social Hub in Berlin. A very warm welcome to you, Philip.
Hey, Charlotte. Pleasure to be here. Super amazed to have that chat with you. I waited for that a while.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to chatting to you today as well. I think to kick us off, if you would be kind enough to tell us maybe a little bit about yourself, the Social Hub, and how you ended up there.
So first and foremost, my biggest privilege, my biggest thing is I'm a father of a 9-year-old, which requires a lot of time and is actually the best thing I've ever done in my life. Secondly, I'm a hospitality nerd. That means I run hotels, which is a great chance and a great thing for me. I have been 18 years with Accor, which has been my start and end of my career, coming from the Ausbildung all the way down to being a GM. At one point, there was one little moment in time where I took a chance to detour to another company and was working in Africa, in Chad most likely, most precisely, which was a great part of my experience as well. And then 5 years ago, I was asked to open the Social Hub, back then the student hotel, which was a super challenging thing and a super interesting possibility, as we are so different to the normal hospitality world. So what we do different is we have 475 bedrooms here at Alexanderplatz, with 285 being built and constructed for students. That means a big portion of who lives with us is the change makers of tomorrow. And around 130, so the rest of the rooms, is for hotel guests. I always say normal hotel guests, but the question is who is normal and who not. I'll leave that up to you guys to decide. But those guests who come are most likely staying a bit shorter in the time frame, so 1 to 4 nights. And 30 rooms are including a little kitchen. Means if somebody wants to stay with us but not share a kitchen, then they can rent one of these studios. So that's a bit the concept. And this all is topped with a huge amount of space where you really can mix, mingle, and start your career with at some point. We have over 1,000 square meter courtyard and over 1,000 square meter indoor space with restaurant, lounge, study area, gym, and conference rooms. So we want to have, we want to be the hub for everybody to connect with each other. It doesn't matter at what part of your career you stand.
It's wonderful. I know I have an open invitation, so I shall be popping by when I am next over in Berlin to have a good look around for sure. Thanks for that lovely introduction, and indeed for us to get to know the Social Hub a little bit better. I think we are definitely ready to dive straight in. My first question is, maybe we should start talking about some of the current challenges that the hospitality sector faces when trying to cater to the LGBTQ plus communities. I know you have many, many opinions about that.
13 years ago, I started working openly with the LGBTI, or the rainbow family community, however you want to say it correctly, because in Berlin back then, there was no concept, no approach in terms of this target group, which is a specified and a very important target group for Berlin. By the way, one of the earliest target groups, with already in the 19th century people doing analysis on the target group, and in the early 20s the first cruise areas have been found in Berlin. So it's part of the Berlin DNA, way beyond my age, your age, our age, but that is where it comes from. And there was no clear concept back then, and I was working with Visit Berlin, the destination marketing agency, to create something where we can really cater open to this target group. And that's how we came up with Pink Pillow, or the Pink Pillow Berlin Collection, which would have been the correct naming in what we do, which is a collection of hotels that decided that we take a clear call for this LGBTIQ plus family, and in all our approaches to make sure that we have something ready for them. Back then when we did this, there was not a lot, I don't want to say there were challenges, we always have challenges, but if I look back in the last 3 years, the hospitality sector clearly has changed dramatically. So that means today we're obviously facing labor crisis, not having the right amount of people. So attracting the right talent is one approach. What is really important to be an open community and an open, I don't want to say open-hearted hospitality guy or host. At the end, we're hosting everybody. That means on both ends of the counters. And we experienced looking in the world today that a lot of governments and approaches might be way more right-wing and way more exclusive than inclusive. This is something we can see globally. And this all combined is a clear effect why what we started 13 years ago has been at the right time, but it's not over. We still have to do it. Yeah, not going into much into details on the hospitality problems that we're having with bureaucracy in Germany and stuff like this. But in the overall, this is what we're, where we're really standing. Huh?
One could ask the question, why is it relevant to even tailor your offering to the LGBTQ plus communities? I mean, why does this make commercial sense? Let's go there.
We're quite rational and without any emotions. If we look at a target group, and it has been analyzed globally in multiple studies from consultancies, but as well from industry experts in the hospitality sector with long-lasting studies globally, that we're talking about a target group that is highly, highly travel affiliated. So they travel. They love to explore. They love to explore secure places. Very often, even though that has changed in the last 4 years, they used to be double income, no kids, or not as much kids as the normative family system that we know. Again, this has been changed. We have a Rainbow Family Center in Berlin because we see that there is a clear change in that. And as well, the travel age patterns. So you have more elderly, gay or queer people traveling with their grandchildren today. So there is a huge emerging market coming now towards us. But back then, this was the status quo. So more than 7 travels a year, usually more than 5 nights per travel, double income, no kids, highly accepted in new products, highly early adapters. It doesn't matter whether the brand, the profile, the product, everything was quite pointing into a target group that is very likely welcomed in the hospitality world. And that's why it made absolutely sense. If I'm very precise in a little anecdote, when I started it, obviously, being a straight ally, sometimes you have to deal with a lot of questions that are exactly related to this. When I'm asked why I did it, I said nobody else was there to do it. So that's the reason why I did it. I did not have, the connected dots of money and why and this. But I learned quickly that this is needed. So in my first year of Pink Pillow, I took an Excel sheet. Bare easy, and I took every request that I got from my LGBTIQ network. Don't forget, back then we only had 4 letters, LGBT. So the rest emphasized afterwards. But I counted every revenue that was requested to my group, to my network that I have been building up. And to give a number, and it's a true number, I ended up having 38,000 euro in a year requested volume. From this 38,000 euros, I was only able to put around 22 in my hotel. So, because obviously a hotel has limits. So the rest I gave over to those hotels who were standing shoulder to shoulder and had the similar acceptance and accepted what we did. And I told everybody, this is what I do, and I'm not focusing 100% on this because I run a hotel. So the more effort you put in, the better network you have. This is what you can get out. And this is what convinced all the, classical general managers, account crunches, number crunches. That's it. That's okay. Then I can make a business case out of that.
I absolutely love it. There's nothing like a very solid ROI, is there? At the end of the day, we're all running businesses, and you'd be absolutely mad not to cater to these communities, certainly by the sounds of it, in case our listeners should be still wondering. These are very, very travel-loving people and communities. So all the more do we need to focus on, as you say, the fact that all is changing all the time, and we're seeing new communities forming because there are, again, there's more positivity and there's more opportunities for these communities to travel more freely. Might you be able to share some examples of hotels or hospitality businesses that have successfully, to your mind, tailored their offerings to accommodate the LGBTQ plus communities?
The good thing is, we're speaking about Berlin, so I'm fully aware that this is the best and the biggest and the nicest bubble of them all, but it's one of the bubbles. So checking your target group might be relevant, whether you are in a huge metropolis and probably the biggest German, for sure the biggest German city, or if you're in a smaller regional approach destination. So tailor your business about your target group is one of the advices we always had. For Berlin, it made sense. We have a clear reason and a clear fact why LGBTI is such an important factor. So to give another number, we are sure that 7% of people on the globe saying we're one of the four letters. If you ask them how many of you are queer, that immediately jumps up to 12 to 14, sometimes 18%. So that amount of people with an openness is really, really huge. And this led, obviously, to the point that a lot of companies have realized that they need to be tailoring their business. I'm gifted, blessed enough to have been working with a lot of amazing people globally and have seen so many conferences where you could really see that this is part of their DNA. And I think that's what really is accepted by a traveler. It's a difference if you put the rainbow flag up 1 week a year just because there is a Christopher Street Day parade in your city, or in your entire approach, this is part of the DNA, what you do. Means for your guests, for your staff members, but as well for the overall appearance. I'm an Accor guy, so I don't want to, you know, this is 18 years, my longest streak. So I've been always watching caution, very, very careful what they're doing. And I like what they're doing now. It took them a while. In North America, way ahead of Europe, a lot of companies and a lot of brands have tailored offers, which is usually around the point of security, safe spots and staff training. Hyatt, Accor, IHG, I've seen them all on the bigger conferences. There is super nice smaller hotels. And to keep it on a very base level, you could be a hotel that is an LGBTIQ plus hotel. Like our friends from Axel Hotel, they are hetero-friendly, let's put it that way. But they're in their DNA, a target group for LGBTI people. But they say we're hetero-friendly. So what we're doing, we're having those hotels who are literally friendly to everyone. And this means that you have to have a different approach on different target groups that you work with. And the big ones, obviously, always for them, it's easier because it's a lot of volume to have more tailor-made business. And for smaller ones, it has been always a bit more difficult, so to say. So after said Accor, the Social Hub has 18 locations, and I can assure you, the Pride period is not only a month for us, we celebrate that 12th month. And that's one thing that is in our brand DNA, so I cannot come across being happy of where I work because it really matches my values.
Maybe we should switch a little bit and talk about sort of cultural sensitivities as well, because when you are catering for the LGBTQ plus communities and guests, you know, how can hospitality businesses really ensure that they are sensitive culturally? And also, I'm thinking maybe you can elaborate a little bit of where can the industry go for training and education for their staff? You sort of alluded to it a little bit already, but maybe we talk about this very large area.
So sometimes it's difficult. When you're on a conference, you usually discuss all the time, should you travel to destinations where there is laws against something, you know what I mean? Where you clearly know it's unsecured traveling. The moment when you stop traveling, I always say you don't help the people out there to realize that there is more in the world than what they see. So it is a thin line, and I do understand everybody who says, I don't want to travel somewhere where my life is in danger. But I see a lot of initiatives of local players, local hotels to say, hey, it's a secure spot, so go there and see and explore. So that's one of the things. And I feel like this goes where the question is. Even though sometimes an environment, politically or as well the destination you're operating, is not as simple. But in this industry, there's so much to learn. There's so many people to share knowledge. The IGLTA being probably the global partner whenever you have a question, being like the association for the international gay, lesbian travel topics. We choose a bit of different approach in Berlin. So what we said is everybody who is a Pink Pillow hotel, we force them, we want them to be the partner of a local initiative around that topic. So it doesn't matter whether it's the huge Christopher Street Day parade or a small association that helps transgender people to knit something in their free time. I cannot care what they do. What I want is connect with somebody, because if you connect with somebody, you start speaking. And if you start speaking, you start seeing another vision, another value, and probably another approach to things. Let me give you one little anecdote. When we started Pink Pillow, I was in a room in a hotel, the Radisson back then, and it was a quite nice day, and I was standing in front of probably 100 general managers, and I introduced them to the concept. And I was asked the question, hey, Phil, what in my hotel am I? I'm a normal hotel, just putting this in brackets, whatever is normal. But I'm a normal hotel, and if in this hotel I have a family check-in, in father, mother, two kids, and behind the family there is a gay couple walking hand in hand, and the family turns to me and asks me, oh, are you a gay hotel? What should I say then? I was on stage, so I flipped it immediately. I said, if this happens and the family's checking in and me and my father, who is from Africa, are passing in the background, and they ask you and turn around and say, excuse me, are you a Negro hotel? What would you say? And it was a shocking silence, because she said immediately, that's not what I said. And I said, sorry, it's exactly what you said. I just changed one parameter. You would be immediately taking a stand, because you know this is what your values are for. That means help your team members create their values. And if your value is that everybody who follows your house rules, who is a good guest, who treats my team and the other guests nicely, is welcome, that's your answer. We talk about common sense. But if you really want to go into deep, connect with your local LGBTI scene. Ask what you need. Ask what you could do for them. And all of a sudden, you're accepted immediately. And that's what we did differently in Berlin.
And that's what I think. Yeah, you have definitely got that right. Well, I know Berlin very well. I've been going to Berlin for many, many years. And, you know, I think the collaborations and the partnerships that you have nurtured for a long period of time already, that's really where you're beginning to see the results. You know, the collaboration here is very much shining through to me. I think it might be a little bit interesting, sort of, it's all connected, obviously, but let's talk a little bit about marketing and communication. Because, you know, how should hospitality businesses really market their LGBTQ plus friendliness to reach the right audiences? I know this is something that you and I have also had a little chat about, so you will definitely have some advice here.
I said it earlier in a little sentence. So first, decide who your target group is, and then see what your target group needs, because they want to be seen in your adverts. So very, very easy. If you target to a predominantly gay market, or you want to attract gay in your hotel, and you have a gay advertisement in a gay magazine, and in this gay advertisement, you see father, mother, and the child, clearly, this is not what the target audience wants. They want to be seen in what you do. So give them visibility. Very, very simple. That's one thing. The second is, when we talk about visibility, make sure that you're accepted on the right platforms. If you work with social influencers, make sure that you got influencers of the target group. Give them the real experience and the feeling of what you're doing. I think today this is the strongest value that you can do. And at the third end, when you really have an event out of your initiated target group, let's say, okay, you say, I want to be seen on the lesbian segment, and you have an event with a lesbian organization, make sure that they generate content and they say what they think about you. And be always honest with what you can do and what you cannot do, because what we learned is, this is a target group, once you effed it up, it's way harder to get them back convinced that it's not pinkwashing what you're doing. But you need to take a stand, and then you have to run for it. That means invest in pictures. That means pictures with two women, two men, probably two men and a kid, two women and a kid, elderly people and a rainbow families. Whatever your target group is, make sure that you respect them and that you give them the exposure. And here's probably, if I allow the sentence, I have had multiple discussions already on the ITB very often. That's quite interesting. That's where that comes up. And in the target, or in the LGBTI community, it's a big discussion when you have models on a picture. Are they really gay? Or are they models? That's a huge thing, and it never crossed my mind before, because I'm not looking at it like this. I always thought, hey, if I'm seen, that's one step. I'm happy with one step. But what the LGBTQ plus family, or the rainbow family, how I say them, the pink family, says is, hey, I don't want to only be seen. I want to be sure that this model himself is part of the audience. You know what I mean? And this is something I've never seen before. So if I have to give an advice today, if you invest huge marketing into new pictures or even new videos, or you work with an influencer, make sure that you don't take a female influencer which is seen for makeup and let her do something on lesbian travel. Make sure it's authentic and it's true, because this is really appreciated.
Authenticity. I was just coming with the word and you just said it there right at the end. We all know if it's pretend mirroring, I think. You don't need to be even particularly smart to work that one out. You just know if you can mirror yourself in a situation, that is when you begin to feel in your comfort zone. And if something doesn't feel authentic, it often isn't. You know, I think it's a gut feel. And I think we need to be very sensitive around that as we learn to navigate and actually cater, as I say, to these communities here. We are sort of...
I had this point in my head. If I see a picture of two women or two men in a magazine, it's nothing you see. That's what I mean. I think what I start... When I started Pink Pillow, I said, let's take the whole LGBTQ plus topic out of the sexual scene. You know, it's not always sexual. If I see two men, sometimes I call it gay blind. I don't know when somebody is gay. It's a person. I like the person. And then, I don't know, I had that in my hotel multiple times, talking about people, talking, and then they say, that's my boyfriend. And I sit there and I said, it never crossed my mind to think about whether you are dating one gender or the other. It doesn't matter for me. But that's what I mean. If I see a picture, I said, well, I would be happy if you cater to a gay magazine that you have two men on the picture. So the cherry on the cake, the icing on the cake is if you, oh, I recognize him. This is Mr. Gay North America 2024. I don't know.
Yeah. So that, yeah. Well, that's when you go that step deeper. That's the yes, important bit. Yes, it's when you actually really do things with care and attention. That's the difference, isn't it? I suppose you could say.
Today I tell them, build a fundament. If you start with a fundament, you get appreciation. And afterwards you could say, okay, hey, we did that right. Let's do something else, right?
Well, there's always room for improvement, right? It's one of those great sayings. And it is definitely also very true. Philip, as we sort of slowly begin to wrap up, I think we want to look at sort of the trends that you are seeing emerging in the hospitality sector, because this has been our focus very much today. But what are these trends, and maybe some advice again from you on how businesses can stay ahead of these trends? Because you have already alluded to the fact that this is an ever-changing market and this is an ever-changing opportunity for us as we all learn to navigate these landscapes and again look after these communities.
Yeah. Well, I think I touched it earlier already a bit, but just to reemphasize, I mean, we're in a super changing environment. And if we look at the global scope where LGBTI is set, which is corporate social responsibility, it's a social aspect and diversity. So it's not only about your sexual orientation, your gender orientation, it's about age, it's about size, it's about color or race. So it's so diverse. And I think if you want to be successful tomorrow, you cannot do anything in this segment. And everybody does something. The question is, how well is it funded and how honest and authentic is it led? Let's put it that way. I was asked why we had four letters in the beginning. Life was easy. It was lesbians, gays, bisexual, and transgenders. That's the four letters we knew. And you could easily say, okay, this is this, this is this. Now all of a sudden there is a star, there is a plus. How do you approach that correctly? And I always want to put the example of you have a door and there's a room and there is an amount of people in that room. They all want to go out. Everybody wants to go out. And if you just open the door a very, very tiny bit, you have people coming out very slowly. So probably it's just four letters coming out. The more we open the door, the more letters will come out. It's being open means you need to accept that there's multiple opinions. If we go back in time, imagine there was a time where women were not allowed to vote. Now I think we should all have female presidents, which might be helping in some extent sometimes. So that's what I mean. Opening a door means accepting that more people will go to the door and you have to combine more people in a global world where everybody can have an opinion within 5 seconds. Open your laptop, you have an opinion. I'm not saying this is good or bad or the young people, they only have 15 seconds TikTok time to understand a problem. Could be some downsides, but this is what we accept in this. So you will have a trend in being authentic can be checked easily. That means as well, accept that you make mistakes, and making mistakes is not the one thing, is how you deal with the mistakes. How are you approaching yourself when you make a mistake, when you're criticized? That was one of the trends. And check out who you want. You cannot have them all. That's a clear thing. You cannot be an adult-only hotel and child-friendly. It's not working. Yeah, pick your thing. It's okay. I will not travel with my kid to an adult-only hotel, but I will not say that I don't understand what they're doing there. I mean, just as a marketing approach. And then I would say another trend that we will see is, I mean, the whole world is getting closer. It doesn't matter when people try to rip us apart. We will get closer in information, in travels. This is all a possibility where we are today, that welcoming different cultures and welcoming and accepting probably different approaches to things is part of what we have to do tomorrow. We saw companies failing in that 50 years ago. We will see companies failing today. But let's make sure that we're setting the cornerstones of a connected world in what extent ever. And then really precise on LGBT, speak to the target group. Speak to your friends. It doesn't help that you say, I have gay friends, when you never talk to them. Ask them what their travels are. My uncle, he has been, obviously he's always been gay, but I only know him as a gay man since I'm a little kid. And I said to him, what is the biggest obstacle that you always had? He said, hey, I could never understand why I always got a twin bed when I checked in the hotel. Why do I come with my husband that I married 20 years and I get a twin bed? And when I was in a hotel business, I started explaining my people, guys, never assume. There is two people checking in and 90% of your rooms are with one big bed. Give them one big bed. Because we all know this elderly British couple that will travel to Berlin and will let you know 3 months in advance that they want two beds and two blankets and a wall between the man and the woman because he's snoring, she's stealing the... So people will communicate. Let them communicate. That only we get when we speak to each other. And that's probably the third advice that I could give today.
It's wonderfully profound, everything. I was going to just pick one thing out, but I think the communication and the keeping an open mind and allowing everything to unfold around you, I think that's where I'm landing with this. And I must say, Philip, you have been an absolutely wonderful travel hero. We cannot thank you enough for sharing your thoughts with us today. I'm sure we will come together, hopefully at ITB Berlin next year, where, you know, I'm looking forward to hosting the diversity and inclusion track. And I should be delighted if you come along as one of my speakers there. So thank you, Philip. It's been wonderful to have you with us today.
I thank you for having me. And I can already assure you the March appointment of the ITB is probably the one thing fixed in my agenda. I will be there 100%. And if I'm not speaking, I'm listening. And that's one of my learnings. I always have to listen as well. So thank you for having me.
Thank you again. It's been wonderful. Thanks also, of course, to our listeners for tuning in today. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast. You can find many more of them on ITB Berlin's website. Next month, we turn our attention to the subject matter of artificial intelligence and its place in the travel sector. We have invited no less than 3 experts who will give us their specific views on where and how artificial intelligence is enhancing traveler experience and helping travel businesses streamline their offering. So stay tuned for that one. Until then, safe travels.